This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Ten thousand years will give you such a crick in the neck!
I'm telling you, nice to be back, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, where are you from? What's your name?
Aladdin.
Aladdin! Hello, Aladdin. Nice to have you on the show. Can we call you Al, or maybe just Din? Or how about Laddie?
Say,
what would you wish of me?
The ever impressive.
The one contained.
Often imitated.
But never duplicated.
Duplicated.
Genie of the lamp.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvin. We are all extremely excited today because it's Throwback Tuesday, and we are going to be kicking off our week of animation by throwing back 30 years, can you believe it, to a classic from the Disney Renaissance, and that is Aladdin.
I can't believe it. I'm still contending with my mortality. That's where we're starting. But nothing makes you feel as young as watching something like Aladdin. Seriously. I mean, you know, you think you revisit something like that after a couple of decades, and you think, could it really be as magical and as great as it was the first time? But Nola, it really is. It has such great rewatch value.
It never gets old. Like, Aladdin never, ever gets old. I mean, this is really peak Disney, right? I'm willing to bet that when most people say Disney, they are thinking of things like Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin. So if you could make like a top three list of must watch, just to understand why Disney is so great and why people have such an attachment to that studio and that sort of childhood, Aladdin would be in the top three, like easily, if not number one, then number two, and at least a number three, right? Like it has to be.
It's the Alan Menken, Howard Ashman combination, right? Tim Rice.
Yes.
Like it's those bunch of films.
It's the songs that we still remember today. It's the beats that we still remember today. Or when I say we, I guess we of a certain generation. To others, Aladdin means something different now. But I think that for kids of the 80s and 90s, Aladdin is always going to mean this particular Aladdin. I will also say that there are a few movies in which I'm like a very unpleasant watching companion because I say all the lines. Lord of the Rings is one of them where it's like, a wizard is never late. And it's like, oh, it's horrible. I don't want to watch it with me. And it turns out that Aladdin is one of those things. I haven't rewatched it in a while, but I knew all the lines, you know, who disturbs my slumber. And, you know, I did the extra fun thing of saying it like half a second before it comes on. But I think that just goes to show you how deeply embedded something like an Aladdin can get. But also just that rewatching it has a lot of joy because I really haven't seen it as an adult, I think. And recognizing some of the more adult jokes or some of the stuff that's actually really enjoyable for parents of that time to watch was actually quite fun to recognize as well.
Oh, I'm 100% not the person you want to rewatch Aladdin with because not only do I do the lines, I was singing the songs and then I was watching it on my own. So first I sang along and then I'm like, no, but I missed Robin Williams or Lea Salonga. I want to hear their voice. So I rewind and watch it again. I'm that person. But yeah, like you, Lynn, I haven't watch the whole movie in a very long time. I've watched clips and songs and some scenes are really fresh in my mind, but I also realized that there were so many things that I hadn't remembered. And rewatching it as an adult, particularly Robin Williams' patter, right? All of the sort of the freestyling jokes and the mile a minute, the monologues. I don't know what I understood of it as an 8 or 9 year old, but there's so many layers to it that I think as an adult, you really appreciate. And how the animation like plays catch up to what he's saying, because by now so many of us would have seen the behind the scenes videos where he literally does like 10 different takes of each line and each line is different and then they had to animate for what he said. Knowing all those things I think also makes it such a fulfilling watch because you're kind of like, oh my god, now I get why that's funny or why he turns into a submarine or whatever, right? And I don't know, this is such a, it's a walk down memory lane, but in many ways, it's also a rediscovery.
I mean, you said animation. I think the animation is why the movie is sort of timeless. And a lot of people use that word, right, timeless. And it doesn't mean that the movie doesn't get old. You know, it's dated, it ages and stuff. It's just that if you watch it at a certain time, then you can watch it again and relive those memories. I honestly think that a movie like Aladdin is timeless because the animation has not grown the way it should have grown. Like, it stays the same. Like, even when you watch it now, the effects that they use for the cave of wonders, or the effects that you see in A Whole New World, or even for the carpet, it's so cutting edge and it's so modern that you can't believe that it's from 3 decades ago. So I think it's because of that smoothness, it's because of that style of animation, it's because of the kind of technology that they have not dipped. So it's evolved, but it's sort of unparalleled even now. They can't exactly date it in the early 90s. You know, it's not something that you can easily say looks old. You can watch it again and again, even when you said of people of a certain age, right? I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know if kids have forgotten the original Aladdin. I don't know if they've replaced it with the live action Aladdin, because I'm willing to bet that kids could still watch old Disney stuff and enjoy them because of how timeless the animation is.
I was a bit surprised by one element, which is that when I was watching it, I wondered if I was watching a remastered version. And then I realized that all it is we didn't used to have TVs so good, and we didn't used to have streaming, and we would have been watching it off of VHS. And so this is actually weirdly my first time watching Aladdin crisp. And that was a very strange experience, because of course, I think a lot of us grew up watching it on tape. And to see it now and to recognize all the things that you're saying, Arvind, the beauty of Agrabah, the way in which Genie was animated, A Whole New World is genuinely magical as it sweeps around. And,
amazing.
It's so beautiful to look at. I mean, Carpet is the best character. Like, there are just so many elements that make a lot of sense, but that I didn't even recognize was cutting edge until you see it now as a person in possession of technology that allows you to see it as it would have been, I guess, projected on the big screen in the past. And it's a gift. I didn't expect that, because it's not necessarily something you always get when you watch old movies, especially ones that haven't been remastered.
For all that talk of technology, though, right? This movie made me miss hand-drawn animation a lot. It made me miss the kinds of things that this style of animation can do. Just the way Jafar's face is animated. I mean, you couldn't do that. And I think there's a reason why live-action versions of these things are never as effective. And that's because you can draw faces and expressions in a particular way that a real face cannot do. Carpet is another great example. The way Carpet has no face, it has no expressions. And yet the way they are animated, there's expression to the way it's animated because of the movement.
Aladdin assumes it's a he, which I resented.
This is true. I never actually thought of Carpet as a he. So yes, fair. See, times do change sometimes. but there's a particular thing to the hand-drawn quality of this that made me long for more works like this.
You know what is weird though? So we talk about Aladdin like it's one thing, right? So it's like the Aladdin movie. But the thing is, it had a bunch of sequels and spin-offs. So as far as I know, there's Return of Jafar, and then there's Prince of Thieves, if not mistaken. And I'm not going to lie, like Return of Jafar was a good movie for me. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Prince of Thieves, not so much. And then there's the Aladdin animated series. The funny thing is, the animation in those movies are not as good. So you can see that there is a difference, and there is a sort of care and sort of effort, and maybe a bigger budget, of course, that was put into this Aladdin. And that's why it's the one that has lasted and sort of survived the test of time, right? While those other things went to the wayside, not a lot of people talk about those sequels and spin-offs. Also, the reason I bring it up is because Aladdin is like a franchise. And I think a lot of people forget that it's not just that one movie. The character itself had so much impact on people growing up that he's a franchise by himself, instead of a single 90-minute movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also liked Return of Jafar, mostly because Jafar is a great character. You know, it's fun to watch him in his curly beard as he gets praised for at one point. But before we go too far down the technical studio side of things, I just wanted to give some shine to the characters, because we're talking about something not aging, or rather aging really beautifully. And I think a big part of that has to do with the story, and also with the characters, who actually feel very fresh and modern. I love that ultimately Aladdin believes in telling the truth, even when it's hard, that he believes in or stands for using your smarts, even when you don't have a lot of other resources. And that, I think, is, my God, I sound aged, but that, I think, is a timeless lesson for everybody to take on.
I felt the same way about Jasmine. I mean, I think over time, with all of the flack that Disney princesses get, and Jasmine's gotten a lot, right, particularly because of her costume. And then the new movie updated, the live action movie updated her character to be more feminist and so on. But really, I was kind of blown away by how... Can I say kick butt? Yes. How kick butt she was in this film, because she's so great. Like, I remember loving her as a kid, and watching her as an adult, I still love her. She has so much agency. She lives in a life that's difficult, and yet she tries as hard as she can to rail against it and to make her own choices. There's so many things about this that I loved. I must say, I didn't expect the ultimate ending when Aladdin makes his third wish to hit me quite as much as it did. And I think that has to do with being an adult. That's kind of a very adult thing to feel.
Oh man, I wish I had like some, I'm looking for some very poignant lesson to bring up that I learned from Aladdin. But my thing is, parrots have always sounded like Iago for me.
I knew you were going to bring up Iago for some reason.
No, I mean, like, you know, ever since I can't, like, every time I see a parrot and you think about what the parrot's going to sound like, right? I'm like, it sounds like Iago. Like, there's no way a parrot doesn't sound like Iago. And that's a chaotic world. Like, if every bird in the world sounded like Iago.
Polly was just... a cracker.
Or Zazu. So this is the imprint of Disney, I feel, because it's, I feel like these are your choices. Either you have an Iago who's like squawking, or you have a Zazu who's just sort of there giving you advice that you don't want.
And British.
Exactly. So yes, it's a whole thing. It is a chaotic world in which we live, and in which Aladdin is turning 30, which I'm still kind of struggling to reckon with. So that's what we're throwing back to today, 1992's Aladdin, which you can watch and stream, by the way, on Disney Plus Hotstar on Astro, along with all the other titles that you would expect and that we've actually kind of been touching on. Let us know in the meantime, have you rewatched Aladdin? Are you team animation or team live action? There is actually a right answer here. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
A new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin, where we're unabashedly fan-everythinging over Aladdin, which is turning 30. It came out in 1992. Let's talk a little bit more about Genie, because we've talked a bit about... Actually, I have more things to say about Aladdin himself, but we've talked a little bit about the various characters. If there is one star of the film, though... It is Robin Williams as Genie. It's he's unimaginably good. It's just such a brilliant performance.
I remember watching Aladdin in the cinema, actually. And I remember that at that point, you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, trailers weren't really a thing you saw very much of. I just went in thinking it's Aladdin. And then when Genie first bursts out of that lamp and then he sings that song, Friend Like Me, that's a magical moment. I think that if you watch that in the cinema at a particular age, that's a moment that sticks with you. And no matter what you remember or don't remember about the movie, and I will admit, I think I've forgotten a lot, particularly to do with Aladdin's scenes, even though he's actually really cool. But I remember almost every single thing that Genie says or does, or even how he moves. And I think a lot of that has to do with Robin Williams and just how iconic he was in that role.
Was this your introduction to Robin Williams? Like, was this your first Robin Williams
movie? No, it wasn't
movie?
Actually, because, I mean, my dad was a huge fan. So I'd watched like Good Morning Vietnam. So the voice, I think, for me was very distinctive.
So for me, it was. This was my introduction to Robin Williams. The movie came out when I was 4, I think, or 5. So like ever since then, like Robin Williams has always been the guy whose voice Genie, or he's always Genie for me. Like every other movie he does, I'm like, that's Genie. And then he's Robin Williams. I think there are some people that play a role and sort of ruin that role for everyone else. Like, there's no way to replace it. Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown, Emilia Clarke as Daenerys, and then there's Robin Williams as Genie. So even someone as charismatic as Will Smith, I think, doesn't have the same sort of pop culture footprint and not able to capture that kind of energy, because Robin Williams had such a signature sound, I think, to that voice. Like, when you think of Genie, any genie, doesn't have to be Aladdin's genie, any kind of genie sounds like Robin Williams. And I think it's just because he put all that energy into the role. Like, you talked about the, you know, him improvising and stuff. It's just because of that, right? Like, you can't replicate something so organic.
And something that would be so pleasing and fun to watch for children, even children who don't necessarily understand, again, provisos and, you know, just that kind of scene and that kind of humor. It's not really for the 6-year-olds who are watching Aladdin, but the other stuff, the zaniness, the master of the universe, the zipping around, the Abu elephant, you know, these are things that children would absolutely love and I remember loving. But there's also a lot in the performance for an adult to enjoy and to find the humor in. The other thing I wanted to say is, and I know this is going to sound a little bit odd when we're talking about an animation, but I think that the chemistry between the characters was really important, and that you see Genie building that with everyone, with Al and with Carpet, you know, while he's high-fiving and low-fiving. And just, I think that the chemistry between the characters is a beautiful thing, because rewatching it now, the meet-cute between Aladdin and Jasmine, which forms the, I guess, in some ways, one part of the triangle that makes up the story, right? With the other being the diamond in the rough and whatever else. That scene has to play really well. It's like 5 minutes. That's all. They meet and you have to believe that they form a connection. And you do. It's just so lovely.
Actually, Gun, like, again, I'd never realized how few scenes there are with, let's say, Jasmine and Aladdin or Genie and Aladdin, right? But those scenes are enough to get you to fully commit and believe in these relationships. Like, by the end, you're like, oh, Aladdin's the best friend Genie's ever had, you know, or Jasmine and Aladdin is the best romance and you really want them to make it. And I still can't really put my finger on how they do that, because, I mean, really, these are not real actors. These are basically moving paintings on the screen with voice. And yet there's just something about the beats of this movie, the way they speak, the way the characters relate to each other, and the way they're drawn, frankly, that all feed into exactly what you said, Lynn, this great chemistry.
I mean, you have to give it to animated movies, especially from Disney, for being so short but doing so much. Like, if there was ever a case for, you know, making movies shorter and packing everything you need to pack into a movie, you just have to watch one of the animated features, right? Like, Aladdin sounds like an epic. Like, when you remember it, you think it's about 3 hours long, but it's barely, what is it, like barely 90 minutes or something. The movie, it's very, very short. And they're able to create so much chemistry and so much friendship and bond between all of them. Also, I wanted to say that the movie has a signature sound to it. Like, you can, even if you haven't seen it for 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is, when you think of Jasmine, you know what Jasmine sounds like. When you think of Iago, you know what Iago sounds like. You know what the Cave of Wonders sounds like. There's such a, you don't have to see the visuals. Even if you hear something from Aladdin, you can tell exactly where it's from, when it's from, which scene in the movie it's from. And I think that that's a very unique thing that only very few movies can do. It has a very, very unique sound to it.
So I cannot believe we've hit this point in the show and we haven't talked about the music, because actually the music is part of what makes that sound so signature. And I think that Aladdin has one of the best soundtracks of the Disney catalog. I've always loved... I've always loved everything. it's how I've learned words like genuflect. And I just really, really love the music. I think that it makes a lot of sense that in some ways it was pitched by a lyricist, that it began life in that way, because the songs really make it.
Oh, the songs are beautiful. I could pick one favorite, but I don't think I can. Even something that's a lesser Aladdin song, like Prince Ali, Marvelous He, like, oh, rewatching it and listening to it and how that goes, every song is so well done and so beautiful. I'm probably going to have it on loop, you know, now that I've revisited this world.
I was literally going to ask, like, what would your favorite song be if not A Whole New World? Like, you can't pick A Whole New World. Like, what would you guys pick?
Friend Like Me. For me, I think, and because of Robin Williams, although I cannot now, I think, listen to it without feeling a little bit sad.
I think for me, it's Prince Ali. Because right after that song, Jafar calls him Prince Abubu.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, how many times did he say it during the song? I love that. I love that song.
One Jump Ahead has always had my heart. I don't know why. Oof. I love that song so much. I think it's just the action sequence kind of packed into one thing, the way it's so beautiful. It was the one that I was like, I'd like to see how live action does that, which is ironic because, I mean, just parkour. But somehow... somehow the premise of them ever being able to do it was unimaginable to me. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think that I don't know whether we are being swept up by the nostalgia of 30 years and by revisiting our childhoods, but I don't think so. I think that there is actually something quite special about Aladdin that in some ways was shown up by the fact that the live action failed to capture that same magic.
I mean, I think there is a certain amount of nostalgia, right? But I don't think it's misplaced nostalgia, if that's fair to say. I think that this movie has a place in people's hearts because of a reason. And that's because it was such a great example of its kind. And even if we look at it now, I think it stands up really well amongst the best of animation that we have today.
I think in a weird way, because of, you know, like 3D animation and Pixar's animation, the fact that movies don't look like this anymore, I think that's also what makes it special. The fact that it is dated, but also timeless, but also they don't make movies like that. They literally don't make 2D hand-drawn animation anymore. And that sort of aesthetic gives it its unique edge.
We've been talking today about Aladdin, which is one of the titles actually that you and your family can watch and stream on Disney Plus Hotstar on Astro. We'd like to hear from you. Have you watched, rewatched, love Aladdin? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.